Today's reading can be found on page 1076 of the Church Bibles. We're looking at John 10, starting at the beginning. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Thanks, Linda. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mark, and I'll be speaking to you today. I'm the minister of Christchurch, if you don't know me. And it's lovely to see you all here. Can you all see, especially children? Can you all see from the back there? Thank you, Izzy. Well done. Right. So, as Melissa said, there's a sheep theme going on today. So lots of sheep. But it's not just about sheep. It's also about Jesus. You'll be glad to know. We're going to be talking a lot about Jesus. In fact, we always talk a lot about Jesus in our church, don't we? In fact, his name is even in the title of our church, Christchurch. His title is in the title. So why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why do we talk about Jesus so much? Well, some people say that Jesus isn't very important. Some say it doesn't really matter how we look for God. We can go to church, or we can go to a mosque, or we can go up a mountain in Tibet, and we can all try and find God in that way, and it doesn't really matter, as long as we're honest about how we're looking for God. If that were true, then Jesus wouldn't matter very much, because there'd be many ways to find peace with God. But today's reading shows that Jesus is really important. In fact, it shows that Jesus is the only way to find God, and that by finding Jesus and following his voice, hearing his voice and following him, it's the very best way that we can live our lives, the very best way to live our lives. Now, here's a few pictures on the screen. We have a few gates for you. That's a very posh gate, isn't it? A big entrance to a very big posh house. Anybody got a gate like that? No, nobody's admitting to it anyway. Another gate. That's another gate. Yeah, pretty garden gate. That's a nice gate, isn't it? Here's another gate. There's another gate. Recognize that one? You don't get very close to that gate, particularly at the moment, because there's too many people in the way shouting things. So, hands up if you've got a gate at home, any kind of gate. Yeah, most people got gates. Okay, do you keep it, Izzy, do you keep your gate closed or open? Closed, very good. So, so how do people get through it if it's closed all the time? It's not a trick question. They open, did you say they open it? Yeah, they open it. Okay, so that's good, isn't it? They don't climb over the top of it. No. Do they climb underneath it? Do they break it down when they go through it? No. They just open it. That's good, because that's the right way to go through a gate, isn't it? So, right. Hang on, I'm trying to turn my page. So, what would you think, though, if somebody avoided the gate and tried to sneak around it when no one was looking? If it was that gate, you'd probably think it's the Chancellor of Exchequer's new special advisor coming to work on their first day. Or you'd be worried because they'd be shot by one of those nice policemen there. But you'd certainly think that they're up to no good. Now, Jesus used an illustration when he was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10. He said, imagine there is a sheep pen in front of you, and lo, we have a sheep pen in front of us, containing three very sad-looking sheep and one more lively-looking sheep. We're hoping to add to their number a little bit later on during the service. Now, sheep pens like this are made so that sheep are kept safe overnight, away from the wolves and the other animal, dangerous animals, and people who might come in and try and steal them. Now, during the day, the shepherd would come along and he would lead his sheep out of the pen, going through the nice little gate like that. He'd lead his sheep out of the pen like this, so that they could go to the green fields, to the pasture fields, and they could eat and they could run around a little bit. But at night, he would take them back to their nice little safe pen, close the gate, and they'd be safe in their pen. Now, this is the illustration that Jesus used. So what would we think of anybody trying to hop over the fence into the pen? Like that. We'd think they're about to knock the fence over. We would think they're up to no good, wouldn't we? We'd think they're up to no good. What about if they climbed around the side? We'd think they're up to no good, wouldn't they? They'd be trying to steal the sheep, maybe. Or what if a wolf was seen trying to get over the top of the fence and into the pen? Last year on the summer holidays, we saw a wolf, and it had just stolen a pig. It wasn't a sheep, it was a pig. It had a pig in its mouth. You would know that it's not up to any good. As Jesus says in verse 1 of John chapter 10, have a look at it in front of you if you want. He says, the thief comes, they would be like a thief and a robber. And in verse 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. In other words, they're up to no good. So the sheep, if they saw somebody coming over the fence, they'd run away because they'd know they were in danger. Now, what is he saying by all of this? Well, he's talking there to the Pharisees, isn't he? Verse 6 tells us, verse 6 says the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them about. But let's think back, adults, because this is part of our series in John. A few weeks ago now, we looked at John chapter 9 and the blind man who was healed by Jesus. And then the Pharisees questioned him and questioned his mum and dad as well, and saying, have you really been healed by this man? Who were you healed by? And in the end, because they didn't like what he was saying, they threw him out of the synagogue. And that's a way of saying, of ostracizing him, of saying, you're no longer welcome in our family. We don't want you to be part of God's family. You're out of the synagogue. You're out of our lives. We don't want to know you anymore. Now, the Pharisees were still there. Jesus was talking to them. And the blind man was probably still there listening in to all of this conversation. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, well, you're not the true gatekeepers. You can't decide who comes and goes. You can't decide who's in God's family and who's out of it. Because you've been mistreating God's people and leading them astray. You haven't been looking after the flock. So in that way, Jesus was saying, the Pharisees were like thieves and robbers. They were only looking after themselves. They didn't care about God's sheep. And that reminds us of Ezekiel chapter 34, one of the prophets in the Old Testament. 600 years earlier, the prophet Ezekiel was sent by God to the priests and the leaders of Israel to say to them that they weren't doing a very good job of looking after God's sheep. In fact, they were doing a lousy job. They were corrupt, they're lazy, they were taking advantage of people, and they were lining their own pockets rather than helping the people they were supposed to be helping. So in chapter 34, Ezekiel was told by God, stand up to the leaders of Israel and tell them they weren't doing this a good job. They weren't good shepherds. So he told them, woe to the shepherds of Israel. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Now, Sean the sheep's farmer at Mossy Bottom Farm is not a very good shepherd because he never knows what's going on in the fields, does he? Only Sean knows what's going on in the fields. He's normally at the thick of it. But he has no idea what goes on in his field. Now, good shepherds need to know what's going on, because otherwise they wouldn't know whether their sheep were in danger or not. They wouldn't know whether they're hungry or injured. So a good shepherd needs to know what's going on. Now, Sean does, because he's... Next one. Have we got another one? Yep. So he's the clever one. He knows what's going on in the field. So could he be the shepherd? Well, what sort of things need doing to care for the flock? Well, they need to strengthen the weak. They need to heal the sick and bind up the injured. So perhaps Sean can bring back the strays and search for the lost. But no, I'm afraid not even Sean is able to do these things. And God concludes in Ezekiel 34, verse 8, that my flock lacks a shepherd. And that's a really serious thing for God to say. It lacks a good shepherd. So who's going to take care of this flock? Who's going to strengthen the weak, heal the sick and the blind, search for the lost? What will happen to the sheep without a shepherd? Now, I can say that confidently, that every single sheep in this country, and there's a lot of sheep, every single sheep must have a shepherd, somebody who looks after them. But what would happen if there was a sheep without a shepherd? It would be very frightening for the sheep, wouldn't it? So God says that his sheep were wandering over all the mountains and every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. And they became food for wild animals. That's what happens when a sheep has no shepherd. It's a very sad, sad story, isn't it? They were lost and hungry, sick and injured, scattered and hunted by wild animals. So the people of Israel desperately needed a new shepherd because they had all these bad ones. So what about Ezekiel? Next slide. What about Ezekiel, the prophet? Could he be the shepherd? Could he have said, well, don't listen to them, just listen to me and everything's going to be okay? Well, he didn't do that, did he? Because he knew that God had a much better plan. And God's much better plan is illustrated by this gate. So coming back to John chapter 10, Jesus says, the shepherd, the owner of the sheep, isn't afraid to use the gates because they're his sheep and his sheep pen. He's the key to the gate. It's his gates. He can go in and out when he comes, when he wants to. So Jesus says in verse 2, have a look again in John 10, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Go back in. He's every right to be there and to lead the sheep out to the field so that they can eat and run around. And in verse 3, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And that's true. If you look at Middle Eastern shepherds then and now, they don't have sheepdogs like we do in this country driving the sheep along, but they actually walk out in front of them and they call them by name, and the sheep will follow them if they're used to that shepherd. So the gate opening shows that a true shepherd is coming into the pen. And Jesus says in verse 7, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. So the people who came before him, the Pharisees, they were like thieves and robbers, verse 8, and the sheep didn't listen to them. But in verse 9, Jesus says again, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And the sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. So do you see, the gate is announcing the arrival of the true shepherd. The thief comes to steal and destroy, but the true shepherd comes so that the sheep may have life and have it to the full. Now, just remember, the Pharisees are there, the blind man, the person who had been blind but was healed was there, who had just been chucked out of the synagogue, he was there. Just imagine what this would have meant to him. Because Jesus was saying, no, they're not the true gatekeepers. You are not shut out of God's family. Because I am the gate, and I'm telling you that the new shepherd is coming. And you can have life to the full. You think your life has ended now because you have no more friends, because you've been chucked out of the synagogue. But no, you can have life to the full. So who is that new shepherd? Well, back in Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel tells us that God says the new shepherd is God himself. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for the sheep. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, so will I look after my sheep. And later on in verse 34, he says, I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. Do you see what God is saying here? He's saying, I am going to be their shepherd. And there'll be huge blessing for you. You will have life to the full if you hear my voice and follow me. So the next slide, Jesus says, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. And there's real blessing to come of that. So coming back to John 10, and 600 years later, Jesus is faced with the same old problem. The Pharisees, the ruling class of the day, are doing a really bad job of shepherding Israel. Ezekiel wasn't going to be the man. The Pharisees, will they be the man? Well, no, because will they be the new shepherd? No, because they're doing a really bad job. So Ezekiel in this situation didn't say it's going to be me, God's going to send himself to be the new shepherd. But Jesus doesn't say that. Who is going to be the new shepherd of Israel? Well, it's not the farmer, it's not Ezekiel, it's not the Pharisees. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And again in verse 14 he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. So Jesus is the new shepherd, the good shepherd. Through Jesus, God himself tends for his sheep and cares for his flock. And unlike the farmer and shorn the sheep, Jesus knows exactly what is going on in his field. He knows when we are feeling lost or hungry, when we're feeling sick or vulnerable, and he comes to our aid. When we put our trust in Jesus, he will never let us down.
Going to sing Lord's My Shepherd. It's a great Psalm 23 is where this song comes from and talks about how Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd that we've been talking about. He makes us lie in green pastures and leads us beside quiet waters. So let's stand, let's sing these great words together.
God's my shepherd, I'm not one. He makes me.
Well, thank you all. You know what they say about working with children and animals. We're combining the both here. So thank you so much to everybody who took part in that. So John chapter 10, verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So in Ezekiel's turn, he is the son of David, he is the sovereign Lord, he is God himself who tends his sheep and makes them lie down in good pastures. It's an amazing claim, isn't it? Jesus is saying, I am the Lord. I am the sovereign Lord himself who is the good shepherd who has come to take care for his sheep. But that's not even as amazing as the bit that comes next, because there's a critical requirement for being a good shepherd. Now, who thinks they know what it takes to be a good shepherd? Hands up, anybody who thinks what it means to be a good shepherd? Anybody? Helen does? Need where good food is? Know where good food is? You need to know your sheep, don't you? Anybody else? I think you need to like cheese a lot. You have to eat a lot of cheese as a shepherd, that's clear. You have to work hard, like being outdoors, lots of things. But let's see what Jesus said as well. Jesus says the good shepherd must be prepared to lay down his life for the sheep. You see, he compares a good shepherd with a hired hand. We saw that in the little drama we just worked out, didn't we? So there's the stranger who came along, and now he wasn't really looking after the sheep at all. They ran off at the first sign of trouble when the wolf came along. And the Pharisees, a bit like the hired hands, they really only care for themselves and they run off when they're at the first sign of trouble. But a good shepherd, says Jesus, will never abandon his life, but more, he will lay down his own life for the sheep. In fact, he says it four times in verses 11, 15, 17, and 18, if you look at that in John 10. So it's important. Four times, he says, the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is saying, yes, I am God. Yes, I am the sovereign Lord. Yes, I am the Messiah who's come to save the world. And yet, what it takes to be a good shepherd is to lay down my life, to give up my life for my sheep. And that's the way he achieves for us life to the full and all those blessings, the showers of blessings promised in Ezekiel 34. Jesus says, I will die for my sheep, and not just in the general sense. Notice that his flocks are scattered all over the world, but he knows them by name. He knows them by name. I know my sheep, in verse 14 he says, and my sheep know me. In verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Imagine that. The same relationship that Jesus has with his Father in heaven, He has with us as well, because he knows the sheep and he knows us by name. He'll gather them all together and he'll lead them out to pasture. And he's only able to do that because he is the good shepherd, who lays down his life voluntarily of his own accord, John says, only to take it up again later so that he can come back again and gather all his sheep into this better place. So what does this mean for us? It means that nobody else can tell us whether we're in or out of the family of God. Only Jesus is the gate. We come to God through Jesus. We come to salvation through Jesus. It means that there truly is a rescuer, somebody who will care for us and tend us and rescue us from danger. And that person is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, to receive these blessings, we need to know that we need a new shepherd. We need to listen to his voice and to follow him. By ourselves, we are all sheep. We're all wandering around, a little bit silly, a little bit aimless. And we're called to depend on Jesus, hear his voice, and to follow him. Let's just have a moment of quiet. And before I sing our next song, I'm going to pray for us that we may all hear God's voice in Jesus, and we may decide to follow him with our lives, and therefore to enjoy the best life ever. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came to say there is a way to God, and it's through you. We thank you so much that you are our good shepherd, who loves us, who knows us, who calls us by name. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice and decide to follow you, and therefore experience the best way of living our lives. So Lord, help us to give ourselves to you and to follow you forever into eternity. In the name of your name we pray. Amen.